Find this podcast and others like it at the number one new media network, Podshow.com. Better, faster, stronger. And now with new minty fresh scent.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Peter Maverick.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This Queer Cast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Always worth it. American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow. LaSalle Bank. LaSalle Bank, make it more possible.
City Queer Cast, show number 61. I'm Peter Maverick.
I'm Amy Matheny.
Hey, lady.
Hello. Show number 61.
Can you believe it? I can.
That's crazy. If we did one a week, we'd already be way past our first year.
Right. But we're ramping up there. There's some notable holidays coming up in podcasting, I have to say.
Yeah.
John Ong is coming up on a great holiday.
Anniversary.
Anniversary, sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a podcasting holiday. John Ong. So John Ong of Online Podcast. We want to give you some love, just for you, baby. And also the Entertainment Beat with Francis Gum, judycast.com now. He's just approaching his 1-year anniversary, Bill, Judy and all the great people over there.
Wow.
And all the stuff there. So, you know, there's podcasting anniversaries and then
there
there's holidays
go.
And all kinds of good
there
stuff going
go.
On in there. Big Chicks is just about to celebrate, or Big Chicks just celebrated their, I think, 15th or 16th anniversary. So
that's a bar here in Chicago.
Yeah. So all kinds of great stuff going on in there. It is the season.
It is. It's this whole kind of end of the year wrap up. And we are going to be looking at, you know, throughout the end of the year, kind of what were the biggest and best stories mm-hmm. of 2006. And if you have some, you know, email us and let us know what you think or some of the big stories. But always at this time of year, we've talked a lot about how the fact that this is kind of the Oscar time, but it's also a time for music, which makes this like your big season.
It is.
Peter Maverick.
It is. The Grammy nominees, all the Grammy nominations are out.
Mary J.
She got eight.
Back. Isn't that amazing?
She got eight. It's really awesome. It's really awesome how, you know, we saw in the Billboard Awards, which are never really the big whatever, but it's just so interesting how many things are popping up. And once again this year, we see in the Grammys such a really, for lack of a better word, we see a melange of artistry.
Yeah.
It's really all over the place for things like Best Album and stuff like that. So I'm not going to go into too much detail right now because I'm going to put this in my column, as I always do with you in 4-4 and Night Spots. I always do a couple Grammy things in there. But I think it's so interesting to see that once again, we really have a super diverse universe of people making music out there in Grammy land. So.
Well, Grammys are the one time that they kind of start to remember like the old really greats. I mean, they always mm-hmm. seem to pull to the forefront an artist that is kind of a surprise. And, you know, for as much as people have said, like Justin Timberlake, a little overlooked more than what they thought this year, Mary J, obviously at the forefront. What do you think is kind of that nomination that is like, oh God, thank you Grammys for like awarding that or acknowledging that? Because I think people would kind of know that.
Well, I think the Chili Peppers got 6 nominations this year.
Yeah.
Mary got 8, the Chili Peppers got 6. And I think right there, looking at the two very distinctive sounds, very different genres and very much out there. I'm just so happy to see them. I'm just so happy to see them back on their game. And I think
yeah.
they really deserve it because if for anybody who knows the history of the Peppers, there's been a lot of you're not an artist because you have a happy life.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just going to say it like that.
Yeah.
So there's been a lot going on in there. So I'm so happy to see them really doing it. Also, 5 nominations to the Dixie Chicks.
I was about to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was about to so say, talk about not having a happy life. I mean,
right.
Revenge is sweet when you get 5.
Totally. When
I mean,
you get
they
5 Grammys.
Definitely had, they've been raked over the coals.
Truly. Truly. With all the bad stuff. James Blunt, you know, he's new. He's
beautiful. I have his CD.
Adorable.
I love his CD.
He's adorable. The CD's okay for me. I think it's a great pop thing. I'll be more excited when he changes just a little bit, when he gets a little more earthy.
Yeah.
But Prince also up there. So
yeah.
So just looking at those very distinctive sounds. I mean, it's not all one thing. It's not all the other. Once again, truly, we are the world. We are the world. It's really just all over the board. So I'm really, really happy to see that. In the remixing award, though,
uh-huh.
the remixer award is never announced. Mary J. Blige is it's the Be With You. Is that what it is? Yeah. Her big remix this year was totally nominated for a Grammy, and I think it's totally going to win because every time I play that song on the dance floor, they just go crazy. So.
I have to get a copy of that. You have to give me a copy of that.
Yes, I will make you a mix CD.
Well, it's interesting, too, with the new artists. Some of these I don't even know. James Blunt, of course, you just mentioned. Chris Brown. Imogen Heap, who I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And Corrine Bailey Rae.
Corrine Bailey Rae, who has a phenomenal CD.
Yeah,
she's really got
hear.
This awesome voice.
And then, of course, Carrie Underwood from mm-hmm. the American Idol winner. You know, it's interesting wondering, you know, there was a time when Simon Cowell said, when she sang on Idol, he said, "You will sell more than any other idol."
Wow.
And it was interesting because it was kind of at the apex of Kelly Clarkson's big rise, and Clay Aiken was already pretty big.
Right.
And I wonder if he said that because she will cross both genres of country and pop. But I guess that'll be interesting to see who kind of dukes that category out, because they always usually have 5 very different sounds mm-hmm. in that category. It sounds like this year they do.
Yeah, absolutely. And 2 of them, you know, the Dixie Chicks and the Chili Peppers, they were both produced by Rick Rubin, who also brought Johnny Cash back to the forefront.
Oh, yeah.
So
having
the right producer really matters. But again, a producer has to work with great artistry and great artists and great talents in there. So I think there's this interesting synergy. I would like to see the Grammys, though, advance more, I think, toward the producer. I would like to see more of those people behind the scenes get acknowledged, because recording engineers and all these people who really are the meat and potatoes of how an album gets together, not trying to diss talent here, because that's not why I'm saying this, but I would love to see producers get much more recognition.
People just aren't interested, though. They want the personalities, they want the life, they want the color. And, you know, it's weird that the Grammys are just so not gay anymore, though. We just don't have anything. I mean, people thought that the Scissor Sisters actually might get some nominations this year.
Yeah, but they're doing horrible in America compared to Europe.
Which is so strange. I love their CD.
I do. And
Ta-da, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
CD? I mean, love it.
Jake Shears is just, he's incredible looking, and to have him sort of at the lead of the thing, and he's just big and out and proud. But it's okay, girl. They're going to be on Passions in a minute.
Passions? What the hell?
I don't know.
What
who
is happening
that
with
up?
Daytime soaps that they're taking over the whole GLBT?
I don't know what that's about. But there was
pioneering.
There was a really interesting article on CNN about the Scissor Sisters saying they wanted a certain kind of popularity because they are the bee's knees in Europe. They are huger than huge, larger than life.
Well, and Elton John has been big about them for years.
For years, for a really long time. And when they tour here in the States, they are selling out left and right. But the problem is they're not selling albums.
Yeah.
At least from the industry.
Well, I bought it, and I haven't bought a CD in forever, that I went out and bought the CD, and
really?
I bought theirs, and I like it a lot. But I love that old sound they have. I mean, some of their stuff sounds like Beatles. Some of their stuff sounds like ABBA. Some of their stuff sounds like Bee Gees. I mean, it's just got so much different. And a whole song can have all of that in it. I just love their
style. And it's very comfortable and accessible music. It's not so way out there crazy that you know, oh my God, what is this? I can't really relate to this. So I think they're really happy. I was a little disappointed in some of the jazz categories and some of the other less popular ones to show on the television, but we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see how it all pans out, and we'll see how it all comes out. I'm just very excited. The Grammys are on their way.
Passions. Oh my
God. So I know, isn't that funny?
It's crazy. Well, it's interesting today that we're going to be talking about daytime television again, because ABC's All My Children, that show that has been on since we all were born. I don't care how old you are listening to this podcast. You were born.
You were there.
All My Children was already on the air by the time you were born. They they have now introduced a trans character who happens to be a musician, who happens to be a rock singer, speaking of the Grammys. So we today are talking with an old dear friend of mine and of all of our radio shows, Alexandra Billings, trans performer from Chicago, who now lives in LA. And we're just talking about the whole climate in LA and entertainment, about representation of trans characters from television to film to the community at large, just how they're seen in the in the GLBT community, which I think is interesting.
Yeah, it really is. There's Alex always has, she always has just a beautifully detailed perspective on what's going on. And I say detailed because it's amazing. She's just, she always blows me away. Every time I get have the opportunity and the good fortune to talk with her, I always learn something new from her. So. Yeah. So I'm so excited that we can have her on the show to bring it to you guys, to all you listeners out there, because she's just wonderful people. Speaking of LA, I just have to drop this in because I'm sad I can't rush out to see it. Carrie Fisher is doing a show out there.
I love her.
I love the Carrie Fisher. Okay, just there's, she can do no wrong.
She's
in
Debbie
my
Reynolds'
book.
Daughter. Come on.
I mean, hello.
How gay is that?
But the show is called Wishful Drinking. It's a one-woman show. I would love, I think it closes in mid-January. I would love to be able to pop out there and go see it. I just can't with my schedule. I can't go out there and see it. But I would love if it would tour just a little bit. Like, she could come to Chicago for a minute.
Maybe she could. Maybe we should call her.
Do it. We should call her.
Come do a show. We'll host you.
We totally will. We totally will. It'll totally be fabulous.
Well, it's interesting. It sounds like it's kind of, you know, Postcards from the Edge was very, parts of it were very autobiographical about her life. Shirley MacLaine even kind of portraying a Debbie Reynolds type character. Meryl Streep, of course, playing her. And it's just interesting.
One of my favorite roles.
Oh, just brilliant.
I think I'll take one Vicodin, maybe two. Maybe a Percodan.
Maybe a Percodan. It's just such a great movie. But it sounds like she's continuing to explore her own struggles with addiction
and drinking in the industry and all of that.
And what a great tip.
On a final note, it is the Christmas season, and for some reason the movie Big always makes me think of Christmas time.
Oh, it's a great movie.
Forgot how young Elizabeth Perkins looked in that movie.
Oh yeah, because if you're watching her now, she's a baby. Well, Tom Hanks looks like a baby too. He looks like he can't grow a beard in that.
He looks really handsome. He's got a little shirt off and he's running around with his little tidy whities in the beginning of the movie. It's kind of hot. Like, what happened to that Tom Hanks? Now he's all dramatic and everything, but you know, whatever.
Yeah. He grew his hair long in the Da Vinci Code and turned French. And
that whole island movie where he was stuck on the island. Oh, that was tragic.
Castaway.
Is that what?
With Wilson, his ball. A man in his balls. Castaway.
You said it. The castrati, what? No.
Yeah, castaway. Exactly. Exactly. Castrati. The castrati.
And with that.
And with that, that's just a horrible segue, but she'll appreciate it. Alexandra will appreciate it immensely. I know that it is divine intervention that even had it come out of our mouths. And Peter's turning purple.
Oh my God.
Stay with us as we talk about with Alexandra Billings, trans performer. On our show, as well as, of course, we'll have Jerry Potter with Potter's Picks and also Logan Schwartz and Grubinier from the Putnam County Spelling Bee. She has been truly in rare form, and I love that about her. So all this and more, and we'll try to have, we'll douse Peter with some water and some air after this.
Again, the show you can't resist is coming back. Mamma Mia, the guaranteed get happy hit about a mother, a daughter, three possible dads, and a trip down the aisle you'll never forget. Packed with ABBA's greatest hits, it's got audiences dancing in the aisles all around the world. Now it's your turn to have the time of your life one more time.
Now playing through December 31st at the Cadillac Palace Theater. For tickets, call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Making your travel plans for fall? Thinking about that Christmas visit to mom's house in your old bedroom? Let the experts at GayHotelDiscounts.com find the luxury you're looking for at a price you can afford. If you need a queen in Phoenix or a king in Miami, GayHotelDiscounts.com can find the perfect room for you and your partner. Visit our website for gay destination cities and extracurricular ideas to dance off that second serving of mom's apple pie. GayHotelDiscounts.com for the gay traveler in you.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Perhaps fashion's greatest mystery. What makes a big strong man say, I think I need a new fur coat?
I don't know.
The very height of political incorrectness. Nothing says, I could give a rat's rear end like a man in a floor-length chinchilla.
I'm taking no prisoners.
A look that's half street pimp, half Aunt Esther, and full-on fur-tastic. Sure, it's gauche, but you don't spend more on your coat than your car, not to be noticed.
Look at me.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer, because it takes a real man to wear a lady's coat.
Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of December 11th, 2006, you're in Chicago's Culture Club.
Remy Bumbo Theater Company continues its 10th season of Think Theater with The Real Thing, Tom Stoppard's sharply funny play about love and marriage, playing now through January 7th at the Victory Gardens Greenhouse Theater, 2257 North Lincoln Avenue. For tickets to The Real Thing, call 773-871-3000 or visit remybumbo.org.
Chicago's renowned dynamic duo, Amy Armstrong and Freddie Allen, present their first ever holiday review. How the Diva Stole Christmas, in a limited engagement at the Lakeshore Theater, an unforgettable side-splitting evening of music, comedy, and many surprises along the way. How the Diva Stole Christmas, this Friday and Saturday only at Chicago's Lakeshore Theater. Call 773-472-3492 or log on to amyfreddy.com for more.
And for more Culture Club, visit windycitytimes.com.
This is Logan Schwartzen-Grubinier from the 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, and my two dads and I are completely buzzing about this week's Bee in My Bonnet. This bee is as unruly as John Bolton's mustache. This time of year, it's nice to think of those who are less fortunate, like Republicans. Between Mark Foley's text messaging scandal, Rumsfeld's decision to cut and run from the White House, and John Bolton's resignation, it's been a rough year for the GOP. My dads say that now even Santa is thinking of changing the color of his suit from red to blue. This is Logan Schwartz and Grubinier, and that's the Bee in My Bonnet. Be sure to check us out on the web at spellingbeethemusical.com/Chicago.
And this is your Windy City Queercast News.
In Louisiana, suspected serial killer Ronald Dominique said that he has killed almost two dozen men. In a tape confession, Dominique recounted for detectives how he enticed his victims, who were 16 to 46 years old, with offers of money for sex, tied them up, and then raped and strangled them. In addition to Dominique's statements, authorities have DNA evidence linking him to the deaths of at least two men.
A North Dakota tribe has banned Reverend Fred Phelps' Westboro Baptist Church from protesting a military funeral at Fort Berthold Indian Reservation. Three affiliated tribes passed a resolution that prohibited Phelps and his group from appearing at the funeral of National Guard Corporal Nathan Goodiron. Phelps preaches that soldiers' death are God's punishment on the U.S. for allowing homosexuality.
In New York City, a Manhattan jury has ruled that Sergeant Robert Sorrenti, a gay cop, was discriminated against when he was rejected for a position in the youth services sector. Two supervisors and Sorrenti are supposed to get about $500,000 each, but the city is appealing.
Singer and actress Beyoncé Knowles of Dreamgirls told Instinct magazine that her gay uncle made her reject stereotypes and embrace gays. Quote, I was raised by my uncle who passed away with AIDS a couple of years ago. He helped me buy my prom dress. He was my favorite person in the whole world.
And the Trevor Project, which operates a suicide prevention hotline for gay youth at 866-488-7386, recently held its 9th annual Cracked Christmas Comedy Fundraiser in L.A. The party marked the first appearances of T.R. Knight of Grey's Anatomy and Neil Patrick Harris of How I Met Your Mother since they separately came out. The two avoided press interviews, with Harris, who separated from his boyfriend upon entering the event, explaining that his, quote, highly paid PR firm told him to, quote, lay low for a while.
Mm-hmm. And that's your Windy City Queercast News.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Jerry Potter's Picks. This week, I went and saw Looking Glass Theater's production of Argo Nautica. This was at the Water Tower Theater at 821 Michigan Avenue. Great space, very creative and inspiring. And this is going to be just running through December, so run out and see this show. I really, really enjoyed this. It's at www.lookingglasstheater.org. Also, we have a Christmas party next week for ALMA, the Association for Latin Men for Action. That's at Nelly's Restaurant. It's 2458 West Division. That's Friday, December 15th. It's $15 for the dinner, but $10 if you bring an unwrapped gift for a senior citizen. Feliz Navidad with www.almachicago.org. Also, Bette Midler has a great CD out for the holidays. It's called Cool Yule. Great holiday music for everyone. That's www.bettemidler.com. Also, I want to mention for the holidays, we have Family Guy. That's what I want for Christmas this year. I'm very into the show now. My friend from college is a writer on the show in L.A. So go to www.familyguy.com. It's twisted humor, but I like it. It's right up my alley. So there you have a theater show to see, music, DVDs, and parties to go to for the holidays. Have a great Christmas, and keep listening to Jerry Potter's Picks on the Windy City Queer Cast.
Here's your kid's meal.
Oh, thank you.
Don't forget, that comes with a free prize.
A pony!
What do you say, Maggie?
Thank you!
What if wherever you went, you got more than you were expecting?
Turn left on Ashland Avenue.
Whoa, this GPS thing is amazing.
I know.
We've never gotten to Debbie's this fast.
Turn right on Wood Place.
Look, there's her house.
And remember, her boyfriend's name is Kurt. Not Chris. Chris was her last boyfriend.
At LaSalle Bank, we think more is precisely what you should expect. More responsiveness, more service, more convenience. In a word, more.
The doctor will see you now.
Oh, my appointment's not for another 10 minutes.
Well, the doctor's running a little ahead today.
And with any luck, our philosophy will catch on everywhere. LaSalle Bank, making more possible. LaSalle Bank N.A., member FDIC.
The Windy City Queercast is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago and Mamma Mia. Dancing Queen, Take a Chance on Me, and more classic ABBA hits are woven into an enchanting tale of love, laughter, and friendship. For tickets, visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Hi, Neil D. Paris here from NewWorldAstrology.com, Windy City's very own astrologer. Now you can have a personal reading based on your own birth chart. Discover your life path, your gifts and challenges this lifetime, relationship compatibility, career, finance, and more. Practical advice using real astrology. It's unique to you. You'll be amazed what your birth chart reveals. Everyone has a unique life purpose. What's yours? Find out more at NewWorldAstrology.com.
You guys can go to a club, meet a guy, have a drink, have a dance, get blown in the bathroom. Fabulous!
Hey, this is Poppy Kaplan, and you are listening to the Windy City Queer Cast.
Lesbians are like stamps. Once you lick us, we stick. That's it!
Something to say? Call us today. 312-21-BE-GAY.
Just get happy,
Better chase all your cares away. Sing hallelujah, come on, get happy. Get ready for the judgment day. The sun is shining, come on, get happy. The Lord is waiting to take your hand. Shout hallelujah, come on, get happy. We're going to the promised land. We're heading across the river. Wash your sins away in the tide. It's all so peaceful on the other side. Forget your troubles and just get happy. You better chase all your cares away. Shout hallelujah, come on, get happy. Get ready for the judgment day.
For all the screen time that gay and lesbian characters don't get on network television, the exposure of trans characters is practically non-existent. When ABC made the announcement that they were adding a trans character to their daytime chestnut, All My Children, after my jaw got off the ground, I just contacted my dear friend, trans actress Alexandra Billings, and thought, well, let's just get her opinion on this whole thing. Hello, Alexandra.
Hello.
Hello.
Is it gorgeous in L.A.?
It's 72 degrees and sunny, and I have a view of the San Gabriel Mountains out my living room window. Next.
And for that, you suck. Ugh.
Yeah, I do. And I just want to say, it's freezing where you are.
It is freezing where I am.
No, we're just above freezing, actually. It's all finally
it's
melting.
It's actually finally melting. We're melting.
Oh, is it really? Oh, that's hilarious.
Yes. So let's talk about the news of the day, and then we'll just talk about the news of the weird, which is what we love to talk about. But so trans
Britney Spears' vagina. Oh,
yes,
sorry.
Britney Spears' vagina.
Her public gynecological examination.
That whole thing. Jeez, boy, the funny thing about that thing is like it's a little used up for a girl of that age, don't you think? A little bit.
It was a little bit stretched out. She just popped out two babies now, didn't she?
Yes, I think we found the entire Dahmer family in that.
Right, Jimmy Hoffa pushed him out of the way. It was great.
That's right.
Yeah, I had been so under a snow mound or something that we were recording last week, and Peter's talking about it, and I had no idea what he was talking about. So he turns on his computer and is like showing me
Britney Spears snatch. Britney, yeah, right there.
Oh, for the love of God, yeah. I think it's all over the internet.
Yeah.
It's got more play than Jacqueline Smith's collection at Kmart. I mean, that thing is everywhere. It's
truly.
Everywhere.
Oh, what, truly. Have you had a Paris or a Britney sighting in L.A.?
No, you know, she doesn't, they travel in a very, you know, I'm of the elder generation. So she travels in a very, you know, young circle, you know, all those kids. And they're a wild bunch because you're down on Sunset, and if you hear any kind of commotion, you know it's either Paris or Lindsay or Britney showing something.
Yeah.
Wow. Doing
but
shots.
But they travel in a very, you know, they're all with the kids and the screaming and the yelling, and I can't.
Well, I really can't. Interesting, though, because homosexuals are just kind of popping out of trees now in L.A. with T.R. Knight, with Neil Patrick Harris, with,
well,
you know, everyone's coming out. Well, the funny thing is, like, they're all coming out, which I think is great. I think it's great. But every time someone comes out, we all go, yeah, and? So, I mean, it's not like it's a big surprise. I think it's probably a big surprise to, I don't know, the red states, but it's not a big surprise to, you know, the actual people who are living in the gay community, because... And the thing about it is most of the times when they come out, I feel like they're sort of forced out.
Yeah.
You know, they don't sort of come out and go, I'm gay, hooray. They come out and go, I'm gay before the National Enquirer tells you I'm gay. And I just want to know everybody I'm gay. So, well, you know, it's a double-edged sword. I'm glad they're out, but at the same time, I wish they'd come out on their own volition.
Well, you know, and it's interesting because you have played two of probably the more high profile, getting the most exposure trans characters on network television. Once on ER, that was, I think, the first time a trans actress had ever portrayed a trans character on television. And then recently, here just about a month ago, on Grey's Anatomy. And, you know, there was all that hubbub about the set tension and all of that. And I think you're exactly right. Like T.R. Knight, because they said there was a homophobic slur. I mean, he kind of sprung out to kind of claim his own dignity, don't you think, from that experience?
Yeah. Well, he did. I mean, you know, I came into the mix right before all of this madness was happening.
Before the shit hit the fan.
I didn't even have any scenes with any of these people, so I didn't even, I mean, the only people I had scenes with were Eric and, what's her name? The hell's her name? You know, her. And
Sandra,
so her. And I didn't have any scenes with any of the other actors. And I didn't really watch the show that much, so I didn't really know who anybody was. But, literally, the day I left set, this thing blew up. Hmm. I mean, I missed it by 24 hours, which really pissed me off, because I was like, when I started, how come I can't be on the set when people are boxing each other's ears?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't...
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, the whole thing happened, and then all of a sudden he was like, oh, by the way, I'm gay. And everybody went, yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, do you think by hook or by crook, that's okay? Because I sort of feel like when people are standing in line and they're checking out their groceries at the Jewels or at the whatevers, I kind of like the idea that there's the big word gay is staring at them. I do like that. It's on, I mean, even if it's on the front of a tabloid or a Vogue or whatever the fuck magazine it is, I like the fact that soccer moms are buying their deli meats and looking at the word gay as they're checking out. I like that. I don't know. What do you think?
You said the F word.
We do.
We have
often.
A fucking podcast.
I feel the same way you do, sweetie. I feel the exact same way you do. I think that, you know, the fact that they see gay and lesbian and transgender, the fact that they see those words, I think is what's important. Mm-hmm. So I'm all for it. I mean, you know, I'm all for, I think it's all great. It's all good news.
Well, I think you are at the bleeding edge of inching that trans word into the mass media, Missy.
I think so. Little old you. And we sent you off to do it. We said, go and make us proud.
Go to that island that's going to fall off the U.S.
Yes.
And do it for
go.
The peoples.
Make it go, Obi-Wan. The force is strong with you.
So talk to us, because you probably have, more so than even the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, you probably have a real take, because you're out there, you're auditioning. I am sure you're at the top of the agent and casting director call list for trans characters. So what is the landscape for what is being created to tell those stories in film and television right now in L.A.?
Well, oh boy, I hope I'm not going to get in trouble. Oh, jeez. Well, here's what, you want to know what I think?
I do.
Really?
Of course, that's why I called you for your opinion. This is an op-ed, for
Hello.
Heaven's sake.
Oh, sweet Lord. All right, here's what I think. Oh, God, help me, Jesus. Here's what I think. I think that the characters that I'm playing, for some reason, and I don't know why, people tend to think that our community is very sad and melancholy and full of disease and sadness. And so the characters that I'm playing are always very sick. They're dying of some disease.
Yes.
And in the middle of the episode, I'm sort of the person that goes, but wait, even though I'm dying of this disease, I must have a vagina.
Right.
And so, I mean, there's like that big proclamation that happens, and of course I die.
Which happened in both ER and in Grey's Anatomy. I mean, that was kind of the fate, right?
I just keep dying. And when I did it in Karen Sisko, I was a murderer and I got hauled off to jail. So, right. I mean, you know, the thing about it is where gay and lesbian was 10 or 15 years ago in television and film, that's where the transgender community is. See, we're always three or four steps behind the gay movement.
Right.
So people, you know, remember like 10, 15 years ago, like, all the gay characters were very sort of limp-wristed, queeny, Broadway show quoting, you know, homos with long hair, and, you know, they sort of wore, you know what I mean? They
an
were
ascot
very
or something.
Well, but Billy Crystal, exactly. He had really bad hair and horrible sweat, you know, jersey t-shirts. It was terrible.
Yeah, they all had perms and wore ass chaps. I mean, that's sort of the
right.
epitome of the gay character. So now, unless you're, you know, sort of a flamboyant drag queen, if you're me and you're part of my community, they see us as a very sort of, I mean, it's lovely that we're being represented in any way, but they see us as sort of a very sort of sad, downtrodden community. And, you know, my manager keeps telling me, he keeps saying, listen, our goal is to get you to play transgendered characters that, like, that's sort of this afterthought. You know, the fact that you're transgendered is not the crux of the story. The crux of the story is that you're this raging alcoholic, or that you're the funny next door neighbor. You just happen to be transgendered. That's the point we want to sort of get to.
Right. Mm.
And to also have transgendered actors and actresses just playing anybody, period.
Right.
And, you know, gay, straight, whatever. So, you know, we're still dealing in knee-deep stereotypes. So and that was a very long-winded answer to your question, but I think, in short form, I think it's a huge, huge, massive wall that I'm trying to climb. It's a massive wall full of massive stereotypes, and it's really exhausting. But what's great is that we're making some headway. Like this All My Children episode. I think it's great. I think it's freaking great.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit, because for daytime television to traverse this landscape, I think is even more brave. It's a different type of audience. Mm-hmm. And in 2000, I mean, the fact that it's All My Children kind of makes sense, because in 2000, they revealed that Erica Kane's daughter, Bianca, was a lesbian. And that was the first time a daytime drama ever had a contract player or a regular mm-hmm. character come out. So they've kind of been down this road before. They've obviously talked to GLAAD, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, on this storyline. What can you tell us? And we should just say that you're not a part of All My Children, so we're just calling you really for an editorial as a trans actress and a trans performer, you know, of what you think about how this is being portrayed. So how is this new character being introduced, and what is kind of the storyline as you see it?
Well, I actually don't know. The only thing I know is the interview that I saw on The View, which I happen to re-love now.
Oh, really?
It's fantastic now. It's some of the best television on television, quite frankly.
The View?
Oh, my God. It's brilliant.
Oh, my God.
Brilliant.
Alex, honey.
Now that Star Jones thing has been deflated, I don't know where she is. She's probably picking puka shells off some random beach or something. But the great thing is that sort of Rosie is back, and it really has injected new life into this. And I saw the interview of the actor who's playing this character, and I cannot remember his name.
Jeffrey Carlson. There you go.
So he was great. And his approach to who this was just spectacular. I thought it was, what's wonderful is there's, from what I understand, they're starting the character as male.
Yes.
And then as the season goes on, we watch him literally go through sex reassignment surgery. So he goes from male and has the entire surgery and then has a storyline as a female.
Well, and the character,
that, I think, is fantastic.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The character was a character named Zarf, who is kind of a punk rock, kind of rock star type character, who has actually, the first episode when it launched on Thursday, this past Thursday, really kind of showed that he saw Bianca, who he does not know is this lesbian, beautiful girl, and was totally smitten with her. So because they're forging a friendship, I think when she is finally revealing her sexuality to Zarf, then she, Zarf, starts to kind of come out as, you know, a trans person. So I think it's really interesting. What do you think that, what do you think are going to be their pitfalls in doing this? Like, what do you hope that they
do and don't do? That's a great question, Amy. I think what the trap is to fall into exactly what I'm experiencing, which is stereotypes. You know, is this character going to be, well, of course it's a soap opera, so there has to be tragedy, but
right.
Is this character going to be, you know, filled with angst and, you know, riddled with, you know, which they probably should be, because, you know, what we do is not easy. The life that we lead is not an easy life.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the trap is going to be to watch his performance and make sure that he doesn't fall into any of kind of, you know, stereotypes. I have to tell you, I had some problems with Trans America, only in the sense, and I want to be careful how I say this because Duncan's a friend of mine, so only in the sense that I felt Felicity Huffman was playing at being transgendered instead of just being transgender.
She
gave a wonderful performance, but she gave a performance that's understood by most of America.
Right.
And that's,
does that
not
make sense?
Yeah,
and that's, it's unfortunately, it's not indicative, at least from the people that I know in the community, of anyone remotely who is, I don't know, it was too easy to digest what she was doing on the screen. That was what I came away with it. I was like, oh, this is fascinating that she's putting these shoes on and she's trying to take these steps. But at the end of it, that's just leaving a taste in people's mouth that doesn't really seem like the people that I know who are going through it. So I don't know. It was just,
I think so too. I think exactly. And I think, you know, it's the same problems I think that happened when the gay population sort of started to get tired of Jack on Will and Grace. You know,
mm-hmm.
Sean Hayes is a miraculous physical actor, and his comedy is fantastic on that show. But the problem is that I think the gay population just went, you know what? We're more than that. We're not just a silly clown. We're more than that. We're happy people. We're fun people. We make mistakes, but our lives are not necessarily snappy, you know,
right,
jesty all the time.
This is why I always thought Frasier was the great gay comedy of
our
time.
Oh my God. Honey, and
exactly.
Niles could eat crackers in my bed any day.
Exactly.
Ooh,
hey.
Oh, totally. I love that song.
Oh, well, to gently change gears here, one thing I've always wanted to chat with you about is what I've seen sort of in the gay community, I think in general, in the GLBTQ community, whatever you want to call it, queer people.
Those people.
We like to stratify ourselves, and we like to put ourselves in lots of different layers and lots of different columns. And for the longest time, as I was coming up the community, I'm born and raised in Chicago, it was always like I knew where the G was and I knew where the L was. I sort of had an inkling where the B was, but I felt like the T kept themselves unto themselves. And do you find that it's a very insular community, or do you find that it's starting to change now and grow outward? Because I know
I think you hit it right on the head. I'm glad you brought that up, because I certainly do not mean to blame Middle America or America, not Middle
right.
America, America period, for the state of the stereotype. Because the
right.
problem with the transgender community is, you have these people going through this massive change in their life, and then all of a sudden they want to forget their past and change their name to Sue and move to Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's insane. And then they want to come out, and rally against all these stereotypes on television and film, and I keep saying, yes, but you are the guys that are silent.
Mm.
You are the people that are perpetuating this stereotype by not being heard and living honestly. And, you know, I get into fights with transgender people about this all the time. I'm teaching out here with the Steppenwolf. We have some acting classes that we're doing out here. And I had a transgendered student. And she came to me and she said, listen, I really want to take your class. And I said, that's great. And she said, but I'm really nervous about my voice. I'm very nervous about the way I sound. And, you know, people always scare it. She had a very, very low voice, lower than mine, very low. And she said, and I get scared. I feel funny about it and la, 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 and so on and so forth. And she was talking to me in this weird, fakey, breathy, nasally voice thing that was really odd. And she sounded a little bit like a serial killer, I have to say.
Or China, or wrestler China.
It puts the lotion in the basket.
Yeah, Hi, I'm China, and I was never a man. Hi. So she's you didn't know I could do China, did you?
I did.
So,
Peter didn't, but I did.
Done China. That was years ago. Anyway, so she's
I've known you for years.
She's talking to me, and stop it. She's talking to me in that weird voice, and I said, okay, first of all, stop with the weird voice and just talk to me. And she started talking to me, and she sounded a little bit like, you know, Elaine Stritch, a little bit like Humphrey Bogart.
B. Arthur.
You know, it was an interesting, yeah, interesting mix. And I said, your voice is fine. It's low and deep and resonant, and it's fine. The first thing you have to realize is if you don't live honestly, your acting's not going to live honestly. So you've got to figure this out before you even step into my class. And we had this huge conversation about, well, then people are going to know about me, and how do I deal with that? And I kept saying, well, then you have no right to say anything. If you're going to live a lie, which is what you're doing, they're going to tell people, I'm a female, I was always born a female, and I can't have children because I was raped by a plumber with a broomstick. If you're going to tell people that, then you've got no voice. Then don't complain about the stereotypes.
Mm.
And so that's the problem. Because that T is on the very end of L, G and B, we've decided to, like you said, insulate ourselves. And if we can get more transgender people to speak up and stop acting like idiots and morons and live their lives honestly, then we'll get rid of this stupid stereotype that we're supposed to be with.
Mm. And one thing.
Oh my God, I have to have a cigarette after that.
Atta girl, let it out. And you know what? The interesting thing I've just noticed within the last year or so, as I'm sort of now I'm out of the getting drunk all the time and partying until I wake up with something in my mouth that I don't know where I found it. But it's like maturing maturing within the community and coming to the other side, I'm finding so many F to M trans people that blow the M to F out of the water.
I'm telling you.
Like, I find when the boys are turning into girls or want to turn into girls, there's this thing where they just sort of slip out of the community and go away. Yet all the women I know who are transitioning, and I can't say I know a ton of them, but I know a few are transitioning from F to M. Honey, they are out there. They are hanging out. They are doing their things. And I was like, y'all need to talk to the boys who are becoming girls, because, and there's this weird shift in the community. But I think you're totally right. I think
isn't that ultimately about gender and possibly, you know, women moving into that male role, which seems to be more,
I think, a
gender
gay male
issues more out there, more fully present, more forward.
Well, exactly. I think you guys are absolutely just freaking spot on. That, you know, now we're talking about a much bigger conversation, but quite frankly, I think one of the reasons for that happening is you're talking about the difference between male and female roles in society.
Mm.
And traditionally, you have the males running the country being able to be verbal and physical and it being okay, whereas the traditional female role is to be submissive and become submersive in their own life and not create any sense of community. Mm-hmm. So when you have genetically born males making a transition, then you have these people going way to the other side and thinking that they're in some kind of episode of Leave It to Beaver or something.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, they all want to put on the apron and do their hair and wear pearls and, you know, nice little hats.
Mm.
Whereas the female to males regain their power. You know, they're like, oh my, this is fantastic. I can say what I want and I can do what I want and go where I want. And, you know, I have this newfound sense of who I am. Whereas the male to females, for some unknown reason, figure, oh, well, now it's time for me to go have a family and settle down.
Interesting. You know what? After 10 years of knowing you, I want to ask you a question I've never asked you, and it's not that question.
Oh, God. Thank God.
No, it's not that question.
You'll be the first one that hasn't asked me that.
No, that's not the question. Well, I'm going to die not having ever asked you that.
Woo!
But I do have a question as to... you know, you and I have discussed that you've been in relationship to people as a man to a woman, as a man to a man, as a woman to a man, and as a woman to a man. Did I say that right? Yes.
My head
woman
hurt.
To woman.
You forgot
whatever.
Woman to woman. There you go.
Woman to woman.
Ow.
But I want to know, do you miss anything from your genetically male self as Scott?
What did I have that I don't have?
No, but you know what I'm saying? I mean, with what you were just talking about, it's the first time the question has ever arisen into my head, because you are so authentically who you are. And to me, it almost defies gender. But I'm just curious, based on what you were just discussing about gender roles, if you do.
You know, what's really weird. I remember when I first started transitioning, and I did this when I was about 17 years old, which was only about 5 years ago.
Yes.
So,
I love the freshness of your answers, Alex.
Pardon me, I just threw up in my own mouth. So when I first did this, I'll never forget this. I don't think I've ever told you this story.
I'm sure you haven't.
When I first started transitioning, during the summers, before I transitioned, you know, I would run around in just shorts and little flip-flops and no top. And because that's what boys do. We're around, it's summer, and we were free, we had no shirts, woo. And then all of a sudden, I started to take hormones. I started to transition, and I realized I had to cover myself up. And it was so annoying to me. I was so, and I'm still annoyed by this.
I have to say, you've shown your tits to everybody, so I don't believe this has not annoyed you so much that you didn't find the solution.
Well, look, if you shake my hand, I'll show you my tits.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I'm fine with that.
Yes.
So, but I could not believe that this rule was suddenly enforced on me simply because I had breasts.
Yeah.
So when you ask me that, the only thing that comes to mind is I'm really pissed off that I can't run around in the summer without my top on.
Hmm.
Well, we'll go
and
to
it really is. Well, and it goes back to sort of our conversation of like the difference in the shift in power between men and women. Men are sort of allowed to do that, whereas women are not.
Right. Interesting.
Isn't that weird?
It is. It's totally. It's totally.
Yeah, but you get to wear skirts and we don't, and I like wearing skirts.
Yeah, well,
I think you should wear a skirt, darling.
Peter's cute in a skirt. Hey, Alex, is this any...
You should wear what?
Is this any different for, you know, we're talking about daytime television, network television, which you've been a part of. Is this any different? And we've talked about some film, but is this any different for cable television? Are they starting to make some inroads to some more interesting trans characters?
I think cable television sort of has always been sort of a forerunner of you know, what's new and what's not. So, you know, Nip Talk had a great character on it. You know,
they've had a couple, actually. They had Famke Janssen, and then they actually had a trans person playing a trans character on that show, too.
Which is so funny, you guys, because literally when I tell you, there are four transgendered actresses here in Hollywood, and I'm one of the four. So every time they have a transgendered character come out on anything, the four of us end up sitting together in the same room. It's very funny.
Oh, how funny. Yeah. That's a documentary right there. That's like a little documentary film.
Somebody should follow us along with a camera, because every time we get together, we're like, well, here we are at the annual transgendered meeting audition.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. What would be your dream for a trans character on television? Network, I mean, network, cable, whatever. What would be your dream?
I would love to see a transgendered actor or actress be in a show and literally have their gender identity be second to who they were as a character. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's a crime drama or a comedy. I would love to see somebody do like a Mary Tyler Moore, you know, show and have them all gay characters, but the fact that they were gay and transgendered had nothing, was secondary to the comedy that was going on.
We could do that about the queer cast, about a group of people who podcast a gay show.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you think in the grand scheme of things, do you think we're very far away from that? Or do you think we're close?
I do. Yes, I do. I think we're very far away from that. But I have a ridiculous amount of optimism. And so what I believe is, I think it will happen in our lifetimes. I don't think it'll happen quick enough. I think that we're coming to the point now where, I mean, look at what's going on in the world. Gay marriage is now like in the forefront and of these political, all these yin-yangs that want to be president. But they have to talk about it. They have to, not just the war, but they have to talk about gay marriage, because you're either really for it or you're really pissed off it's happening. Mm. So although I think we're very, very far away from that happening, I think each step that we take is going to take us, you know, a little farther into the future. And I believe that we will continue to take steps. And that's the important thing.
Right, right. And well, you know, it's interesting, as you all were saying earlier, that, you know, Peter was saying it's just great that people are having to see the word gay, and it's just great that the public debate is happening, and that the vice president's daughter is now pregnant, and that, you know, there's all this stuff that has brought GLBT, just that the terminology, into the public consciousness. And I mean, I think nothing does that more than soap operas, because that is the kind of at the grocery store conversation piece for women in America.
It is. The gay moms, men. The soccer moms are watching it, honey. I mean, when you have these shows on television 13, 14, 15, 16 years.
All my children is like 30. How old is Erica Kane, Susan Lucci? Is she like 90 yet?
She's selling Emmy cheese, which is hysterical. Emmentaler cheese. I love those ads in the New Yorker. But I think what's so interesting is, when you have a show that runs on television that long, it has to reflect what's happening in reality. It has to reflect what's happening outside there in the world. What is it? Happy Valley, Golden Valley, Hidden Valley Ranch. What is the name of the place where they live?
Hidden Valley Ranch. I was like, what are you talking about? You're talking about salad dressings. I had no fucking idea where you were going with that at all.
But I think
that made me happy.
Pine Valley.
You know what? That not only made me happy, it made me hungry.
Pine Valley is a reflection
of
the world.
And it's true, you guys. I think what you're saying is absolutely right. I think that just the fact that it's All My Children, which is like a huge, I mean, it's a staple of daytime television.
Right.
And the fact that this character is even on it is going to force people, you know, to say transgendered. It's going to force them to say it. I mean, it was funny when I did Grey's Anatomy, the amount of mail I got was insane.
Really? Tell us.
From Taiwan.
Oh, wow.
It was insane. It was crazy. And from all these people that were either transgendered or not, or knew somebody that was transgendered. I even got this email from this woman in South Africa or something that said, my son is going through this, and we didn't know what to do, and seeing you was blah, blah. I mean, it was astonishing. So I can only imagine what's going to happen when all my children starts to, you know, really bring this storyline into the forefront. I think it's great.
Well, and one of the things that we're discovering here in this wild world of podcasting and online is how strong the online trans voice is.
Absolutely.
And in its youth and in its infancy, they're kind of right there in the forefront. They're not 15 years behind terms of their exposure online and on the web. I mean, of course, you can check out Alexandra Billings at her website, alexandrabillings.com, and that was where you can find out where she's performing and and the news of and her blog and her CDs, because she's a fantastic singer. So if you're listening to this, and we'll have you linked on our website. But
absolutely.
Ooh, link.
But I think I mean I know I've been around since the internet was born. I've been an internet junkie since, you know, I could first open a little web browser and type in the www dot. And I knew right away. I think it was so interesting that the trans community went online very fast because it was a very easy way to be anonymous.
Yep.
Yet part of a community.
Right.
So you could really
and
hop
get
into
information
the web and do that.
Because they needed more specific information as a community, probably even than gay or lesbian
people.
Truly. You
I mean,
know,
especially
I was if they were considering, you know, options for reassignment, transition.
Well, where to buy shoes, where to buy wigs.
Exactly.
Honey, I was a little baby drag queen on the net and emailing all these trend women who were like, oh girl, go here and buy this shoe, buy that makeup. Cover girl does not cover boy. They were teaching me all these good things online. But now I found that the community has really, it's just blown up and it's become this strong, this movement and these currents. Do you now, Alex, are there trans sites that you visit, or are there places that you, I don't know. I mean, what's your relationship with the internets? And that.
You know, I have a lovely relationship with my computer. I love my computer. My computer is my best friend. And I it's scary. I really don't do that very much because I don't have a lot of time, which is why I sort of created my blog, because I wanted to start putting stuff out on the internet to sort of have people, if they randomly come across me, that they get to see someone who's transgendered, who's living, you know, a fun life and a happy life and a surprising life and sort of is living a positive life. Because for a long time, you guys, you know, and I was around before the internet was born as well. For a long time, I thought I was crazy. I just thought I was insane. Because I couldn't get a hold of anyone. I didn't know. I thought I was sort of the only one. I thought I was the only one that sort of existed, you know?
Yeah.
And now we have this massive communication device at our fingertips, and so no one can. You have the power now to connect with anyone across the world. So I don't really sort of do that. I probably should. I feel bad now. I'm a bad transgender person.
Don't feel like bad,
girl. You're on the TV.
They're gonna take my transgendered card away.
I thought you were making them in your basement. I thought you were the one who produced them.
That's me.
I make the toaster ovens. I thought you were making the trans identification cards.
That's exactly what I'm doing, and I sprinkle them with sequins and a little bit of bull feathers.
Yes, and a little bit of fairy dust.
Payettes, dear, payettes.
Oh, my goodness.
A little payette.
Well, Alex, we so appreciate you spending some time with us. You can follow this storyline for yourselves on ABC's All My Children, and is currently on 5 days a week on the ABC Network. Mm-hmm. We will all kind of continue to watch this storyline play out. And, Alex, we hope you'll come back and be on the QueerCast with us. You can definitely, if you're in the Chicagoland area, often just check out our site and find out when Alex is coming to town for the Gentry or also for performances, because she's been here quite a bit, even since she moved out to LA. And if you're in the LA area, then check her out there. She's been triumphantly doing her one-woman show and also obviously these television appearances. So Alexandra Billings, we are so happy to have you on, and we will talk with you again soon.
Thanks, guys.
Got a little rhythm, a rhythm, a rhythm that pitter-pats through my brain.
And folks, thanks for listening to another Windy City QueerCast. This program is brought to you in part by Bud Light.
Bud Light, always worth it.
And LaSalle Bank. LaSalle Bank, making more possible.
And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com. So that's our show. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick. Please comment on our shows at windycityqueercast.com and in iTunes.
And email us for giveaways at wcmgpromo@aol.com.
Folks, we want to tell you that the next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.
Each morning I get up with the sun, start a hopping, never stopping, to find at night no work has been done. I know that once it didn't matter, but now you're doing wrong when you start to patter. I'm so unhappy. Won't you take a day off? Decide to run along somewhere far away off and make it snappy. Oh, how I long to be the gal I used to be. Fascinating rhythm, oh, won't you stop picking on?
The best and the brightest served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Pod Show and Limelight.